Can we turn, please, to the first book in the New Testament, the record by Matthew? Chapter number 6, please. And we'll take our reading from verse number 28. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? If we could read that again and read it this way. And why take ye such anxious thought for your clothing? The Gospel record by Luke in chapter 6. Sorry, the Gospel record by John in chapter 6. Verse number 68, John 6, verse 68. Lord, to whom shall we go? Lord, to whom shall we go? We've read two questions upon the page of Scripture. One question asked by the Lord Jesus Christ, and another question asked by the disciples, the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. A question asked by the Lord Jesus Christ, why take ye such anxious thoughts concerning your clothing? A question asked by the disciples to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and assure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. If we were to come to the second question of Holy Scripture, we would find it's a question in Genesis chapter 3, from God to man, from heaven to earth. And the question is this, where art thou? If we were to come to the first question in the New Testament, in Matthew's record, in chapter 2, we would find now it's not from heaven to earth, where art thou? It's from earth concerning heaven. And the King Herod, he says, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, where is he? Where art thou? Where is he? Why take ye such anxious thought for your raiment? Lord, to whom shall we go? Just to consider these questions, you would well know that the first question upon the page of Scripture was a question not from God, and a question not from man, and a question not from any other, but Satan himself. Hath God said? What a question to open the pages of holy writings. Hath God said? Is not this the question that we find amongst ourselves in the world that we live, in the environment in which we are, in the society in which we live and move? Hath God said amongst professing Christians that would take up the holy word of God and dare to question the pages of writings which are inspired of the Holy Spirit? Hath God really said? Oh, the tragedy. Mankind listened to the deceitful question of Satan himself. And the next question that we would read upon the page of Scripture, with man separated from God and banished, to be banished from his presence, but separated now by death, trying to attempt to hide himself in the trees of the garden. Where art thou? Oh, we can be thankful, brothers and sisters, can't we? For one came of whom it would be said, Where is he? It wasn't King Herod, by the way, was it? I made a mistake. It's not wicked men that say, where is he? It's wise men. And wise men ask the question, where is he? Born king. Born king of the Jews. Where is he? I wonder whether there's any in our company this afternoon and you're not yet saved. But more really what's upon my heart is this. Just to take up from where our brother has just left off. Where is my heart? We didn't think of Demas before. We didn't have time. I want to come back to him now. Where is my heart in relation to the things of God, in following the Lord Jesus Christ? Brothers and sisters, looming large on the horizon before us is the great eternal realm of which we're going to enter into. And naturally speaking, we would say that some in this room are nearer it than others. There are some in this room feeling the aches and pains of the day, feeling the aches and pains of a weary body of age, and those that seemingly are closer to the grave than others. But we know that we're just a breath from eternity, and our only breath is the breath we've just taken. For we're never guaranteed the next breath. And would to God that it would be laid upon my heart this afternoon, the absolute significance and the eternal reality that's been before me, that soon I'm going to leave this little life behind. The clock is going to stop ticking and I'm going to enter out into the eternal realms, either to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in the bliss of eternal dying, or to find myself landed in the darkness of which we heard something of in the gospel meeting last night. Where are we headed for eternity? The question is, and the reality is, dear friends, as mortal creatures, and we are with one another this afternoon, tangible and in this body, we're traversing, we're treading a pathway. I hope you're treading it home to heaven. A wonderful thing to lift up our eyes in a day to come, maybe to pass through the porthole of death and out into the eternal realm of where there is no time, into the eternal presence, into the bliss of sunshine, into the bliss of the sunshine of the love of God in the kingdom of His Son, in the Son of His love, and to understand the reality of this. I see for the first time him whom having not seen we love and rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The reality is, brothers and sisters, that very soon this little life is going to be left behind. And I'm reminded of the words, only what's done for Christ will last. Soon we'll be out into the eternal expansion of which we cannot comprehend and cannot describe or explain this afternoon. To step out onto the shores of eternal realms to be with the Saviour and with the saints who have trusted in the precious shed blood of Calvary. To be with the one whom we long for, whom we hope to see, to dwell with God Himself, never to be under the bondage of time, never to be in the bondage of the aches and pains of this little body, to leave behind the world and all its wickedness, to say goodbye, finally, to sin and sorrow and sickness and suffering. Say goodbye to everything that disturbed. No more sin. What a tremendous day. But oh, dear friends and brothers and sisters, should this not engage our hearts this afternoon, that while we look for eternal life, while we look for eternal bliss, while the hope on our horizon is to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and a day, and to never be departed from the one who secured us by the shedding of His precious blood, the one who stooped down from the eternal realm and into time taking a body, secured us by His own death nailed to the tree. Oh, what a Saviour. But the reality is this. There are many heading for darkness. Why do I want to impress this? We'll see in a moment or two. There are many dear brothers and sisters, and could be some in this little company this afternoon, that if the Lord was to descend, and with a shout the voice of the archangel and the trump of God to call his saints away, and every saint in this room was to arise from the seats and in the twinkling of an eye to be caught up to meet him in the cloud. There could be some left to face eternal darkness. All the oppression of eternal darkness, either to go out through the porthole of death, maybe imagining that everything was right, and to go out and find yourself to plummet out and plunge into eternal night. Oh, the oppression of darkness. Oh, the sounds which are fearful and frightening. And that's not even able, we're not even able to comprehend such the tragedy of what it is to go out and in eternal darkness languish in torment and in the lake of fire which burns with brimstone only under the judgment of God for all eternity. Never to turn back and repent. Never to see the shores of eternal day, never to dwell with Christ and his saints, only to languish where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth in the blackness of darkness forever. Why do I want to emphasize this afternoon? Why take ye such anxious thought for raiment? Where's my heart? I know where it should be. It should be with the disciples. Lord, to whom shall we go? Is my heart with the world? And they're heading to darkness. Or is my heart with Christ? And we're heading home. With Christ and with his saints. We notice that Demas on the page of Scripture, he loved this present world, a man who had been a fellow laborer of the Apostle Paul, a man, dear brothers and sisters, this afternoon that sent greetings to the church at Colossae. He had a love for his brothers and sisters, it would seem, and sending greetings in chapter 4 of the Epistle of Colossians, united with the Apostle Paul. He would speak the apostle of Demas in the book of Philemon in verse number 24, that he is indeed a fellow laborer with me and with Luke. Fellow laborers in the Lord, we've heard about laboring already this afternoon. And these men labored for God and they went on planting and watering and seeing the mighty hand of God at work. But there came a time. Paul had to write these tragic words. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present. And I know there is a version that says this present evil world. What is that word love? You may be surprised to learn that it is agapao. That puts to bed the thought that agapeo is only a divine love. It's not. We looked at that this afternoon. It's just a love of no reason. Here was a man, and he agapeoed this present world. What does it mean? I just take it to mean this. Here was a man that had been a fellow laborer. Here was a man that had been spreading the gospel. Here was a man seemingly saved upon the page of Scripture, sending greetings to the saints. He had everything going. He's heading towards eternal day. He's going home to the sunshine of God's love. He's heading homeward, heavenward, and upwards towards the glory. And he makes a distinct choice to love this present evil. He had no reason to do it, but he set his sights on this present world. He made a choice by himself. I'm going to love it. Where did it start? We're reminded of the question of the Lord Jesus himself. Why take ye such anxious thought for your raiment? Brothers and sisters, this was to believers. This question came to the people of God in considering that you cannot serve God and mammon. In consideration, as he spoke about laying up treasures in heaven, not upon earth, where rust and moths, where it would disintegrate. Where is my heart this afternoon? Is it drawn away by another, as we've heard, the hearts of the people drawn away by that deceit, by that deception? Drawn away by something that seems good and fanciful, and we could think of this in the context of local assembly testimony, all the glamour, all the glitz, all the tinsel of what seems good and seems right, and it's all a big hype and it just goes up with a puff of smoke. Here was a man that had his heart drawn away to this present evil world, and I wonder if it started with just something so little as my clothing. What's my emphasis on this afternoon? Where is my heart this afternoon? Could I say with the apostles and unite with them, for they said, we, and this is fellowship, we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, to whom shall we go? Here was a picture. You won't find the parable of the sower in the gospel record by John, but in chapter 6, I just think it's summed up like this. In the previous verses, the Lord Jesus has been speaking that which is spiritual, and he says to the people about the bread. And they say this, this is too hard a saying to understand. The next thing we find is that people who had followed the Lord Jesus at some point, for some time, turned back and followed no more. And then we find Judas. And he was a man who, for the love of a few silver coins in his pocket that were going to perish, he sold, he despised, he deceitfully betrayed his Lord. Oh, would I see the parable of the sower in this? Saying's too hard to understand. And maybe we hear something, and I want to take an application now, for its primary meaning, of course, is to the unsaved. But now we pull out an application and see how it applies to my life. Is there something which has come to me from the Word of God, even in this conference? And I walk up, that's too difficult a pathway to choose. Thank you very much. That's too difficult to give up. Maybe I'm climbing the social ladder. Maybe I'm climbing high in the business world. Maybe my emphasis is on such heights of material gains. And maybe it's just something of being so conscious of the best label clothes. Where am I this afternoon? And these people said, it's too hard. And I see that as the evil one snatching the seed. The next people said, we'll walk away, we'll go back no more. I see these as enduring for a time with joy. They loved it while they were being fed. But then with persecution, they turned away. I see Judas as a picture of the thorns that grew up and choked around his neck, one who never meant maybe to get himself so deep, but little by little, for his love of money, because he was a thief, he carried the bag. His heart was stolen away, and he betrayed his Lord. But I see the disciples as a beautiful picture of the good grain, which brought forth fruit. What was their fruit? When the Lord Jesus asked them this question, will you also go away? What was their response? Lord, To whom shall we go? Where's my heart this afternoon? Where's yours? Is it focused on the Lord? Where else could it be? It's really a statement, isn't it? It hardly needs to. Where else would you want to be? Where else could you be? Where else would you be? Well, Demas, sadly, he set his affections. He made a choice and set his affections on this world. I do trust this afternoon, having been at the conference meetings this weekend, that I would lift my sights as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And on the one hand, I would see the world rushing on to eternal darkness with this life so short, so fleeting, so flimsy, so passing, and these little clothes that just house the body of which I'm in. The home is just a shelter on the way home to eternal mansion. The car I drive, and the Lord taught me a lesson about this recently. Oh, I polished up the car. I T-cut it. Do you know what that means? I washed it, and then I cut and polished it. And I stood back, and I thought it looked great. And I walked around this side, and I thought it looked even better. And I could almost see my reflection at this side. I thought it looked grand. And the next night, I was rushing out for the meeting. This will probably teach me for not being late. And I reversed down the driveway. Maybe I should blame David Bourne, because I had the car hooked up to the caravan. And it's never usually hooked up to the caravan, but they were taking the caravan. So I thought I'd get it hooked up and waiting and ready. And I reversed down the driveway. And the bull bar on the four-wheel drive just about clean ripped off the whole passenger side of my nice shiny car. I didn't even get out and have a look. I just thought to myself, why take ye such anxious thought for your raiment? Why? It's a car. I'm not saying you can't have a clean car. But where is my focus? Where is my mind? Where is my heart? Is it in the one who has words of eternal life? Lord, to whom shall we go? Is it my aim to be at every assembly meeting? Is it my aim to be obedient to every page and every word that's instructive and for my good? Or is my heart set somewhere else? We've heard about love. And we'll finish. Why take ye such anxious thought for clothes? Will ye also go away? Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. You wouldn't want to be anywhere else, would you? Or would I? I ask myself this afternoon. And we believe, and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God.